is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. A windy Cleveland, Ohio today. It's cooler here on the Tennessee and the Kentucky border, as to be expected as we get ready to turn the page to 2026. My man, we have a great final hour here on the program today. We're going to have JVT join us here in a little bit, co-host of Stormy Bonatoni on Money Moves. Speaking of Stormy, she's going to be making the pilgrimage out here Friday and do her show with JVT. She will be on site right here in this very chair. So if you're out and about in the area, come say hi to Stormy here on Friday in Franklin, Kentucky. And then, of course, our Wednesdays with Wes becomes Tuesdays with Wes as he is making his pilgrimage out to Pasadena to see his Hoosiers take on Alabama. We'll get to all of those numbers and all of those games in a moment. But Jensen, we love it. We look for it. We need it. Chaos in the world of sports. Who are this week's chaos candidates? Okay, Jensen, I've won the toss this week. I have elected to receive. And my first chaos candidate, it's the Las Vegas Raiders. Why? They have a 94% chance of winning by losing the number one pick in the NFL draft. Hey, Pete Carroll, you guys are 5.5-point home dogs to the Chris Oladokun and the Kansas City Chiefs this week. And nobody cares about this game, right? You should care. Max Crosby, he's back from the ban list, whatever that was last week. He's back in the facility. Max wants to play. Max wants to win. So, you know, you can still get the one pick even by winning. We need some help there. The Giants, of course. But why should it be about getting the number one pick? Shouldn't it be about professional pride? You can throw some chaos into this right now and go out there and be a pro. Go try to win a game. Because if we're being objective, last week against the Giants, that was not a good look when you lose 34-10 at home and you tell Max Crosby to just go home. Just go home, Max Crosby. He's your best player. Pete Carroll, if you're going to be long for the desert and you're going to come back for year number two, it has to look better than it looked last week. And if I'm Pete Carroll, unless you have some wink, wink, you had an agreement with the front office saying you do right by us, we'll do right by you. And you know what that means? That's not the way the NFL normally operates. Go back to Lovie Smith when he was with the Houston Texans, right? And they got mad. Ownership fired him because Lovie went out and won the last game of the regular season. Well, then talk to him. Have a conversation with your head coach. He doesn't know he's not supposed to win. He's a pro, and he went out there to try to win the game, and they did. So don't blame the head coach. Pete, go out there and try to win. Max wants to win. The Raider fan base would like to see a win. So go out there, cause some chaos, beat the Chiefs, be a pro. Don't mail this thing in and tank it. That's not who you are, Vegas. Be better.
I love it. And again, it's why we play the game. It's why we put the uniform on. We love the opportunity to go compete. And I echo what Max Crosby and those boys want to do. Competing, find me a better competitor right now than Brock Purdy. All credit where it's due, where Drake May, Matthew Stafford, heck, even Trevor Lawrence probably deserves some love here in the MVP race. Has there been a more important quarterback when he's been healthy for where his team has been and the offense they run than Brock Purdy? You can make the argument right now that San Francisco is the team you don't want to play on the NFC side of the ledger. And God help the NFC opponents if San Francisco gets it done on Saturday night in Santa Clara. Big reason why I like them beginning of the year. It was a big write-up in our NFL betting guide at VSiN.com. Yes, the strength of schedule is what it is before the beginning of the season, Dave. And make no bones about it, that's where a lot of people like from the prediction markets. But I thought that when you look through where continuity is, when that offense is healthy, this is still without Brandon Ayuk. This is still with weeks without a full complement of receiving weapons. Fortunately, Christian McCaffrey has been healthy. You've had to win some games, big-time games, with your backup and Mac Jones. That's treaded water. That's why you sign your backup. But you paid the money to Brock Purdy to be this kind of quarterback at this point in the season. A lot of accolades are going to be on Matthew Stafford, and rightly so, for the LA Rams. A lot of accolades are going to be on Sam Darnold. Last year, didn't get it across the line. Maybe this year is different with arguably a better defense. I think that Brock Purdy deserves a lot of respect. He's not going to get it just yet, but he's the guy that can create the chaos to get there if they win on Saturday night and the road to the Super Bowl stays through Santa Clara.
Mr. Irrelevant to, at the time of his contract, well, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they know exactly what they have there. So people go, are you going to pay that much money for Mr. Irrelevant? Damn right we are. We always talk about money. If they have it, they've got it for certain people. And they paid it to Brock Purdy. You're right. He's made me a believer. He is legit. This is not some afterthought. And he's not one of the cogs in the machine. He makes that machine go there in San Francisco. I wanted to do this before we have Wes Reynolds on. I hope Wes is not listening right now. My next chaos candidate, it's Roll Tide. It's Alabama. We had Matt Eumanns on in hour number one. He's like, look, if you've been watching this team, they're not very good, right? I get that. From the perspective of a college football playoff, can they win the national championship? Are they that kind of good? You're Alabama. I mean, let's go. You gotta have some personal pride. You're 7-point underdogs to Indiana, and this isn't basketball. Oh my goodness. If that's not a whoopsh, Alabama, you should take umbrage with that, that the odds makers and the experts are telling you you're not going to win this game because you're not better than Checks Notes. Indiana football, Alabama, you want to talk about pride. You're still frigging Alabama. So if I'm going out there and going, if I'm Kalen DeBoer, and I've now said I'm not going anywhere else, forget about Michigan, Penn State, all those jobs. I'm right here. This is who I am. Alabama football, you got to be better than Indiana football. Kurt Cignetti's done an amazing job of turning this program around. They're the number one team in the country, Indiana. If I'm Alabama, I look in the mirror and I go, there is no way I'm letting those guys on a neutral be 7-point favorites than us. We're not even in their house. We're in Pasadena. We played in the Rose Bowl. They haven't. So they haven't done it since the 60s. All of a sudden, Alabama football, I want to see you be Alabama football. Forget the 7. Go win the game, Jensen Lewis. Cause some real chaos. You get to the Final Four, and all of a sudden, this underdog team, Alabama's an underdog? What world are we living in? It's the upside down world. Alabama, restore some order in the college football world and show everybody, like Roy Jones Jr. said, y'all must have forgot. Let's see if they've forgotten who Alabama football is. If you are still Alabama, you should not be 7-point dogs to anybody, let alone Indiana football.
They might need Noah's Ark on Thursday to get through what those conditions might look like there at the Rose Bowl. Conditions that Indiana is certainly equipped for. And if That's you true. Feel like the Noah's Ark reference is simpatico, yes, it was Noah on the Ark. Fernando Mendoza has had some divine intervention surrounding him as well. So should that be the day, we shall see. I told you it's going to be all eyes on the Cotton Bowl and deep in the heart of Texas tomorrow night. I bet with my head. I didn't bet with my heart. My heart is with my Buckeyes. But I cannot, in good conscience, look past that unit. I have been talking about it for weeks, Dave. If Miami found a way to get past Texas A&M, they did. You now present house money for this defense and this school that has waited multiple decades for a chance to get back at the Scarlet and Gray, for one where they felt a big-time championship was taken away from them, whether by virtue of officiating or what have you. Miami has waited a long time. They have NFL prospects up and down this defense. They have two pass rushers that no one on this offensive line for Ohio State has seen. They can't really replicate it in the scout team. I love my Buckeyes. I do. But I think they are in for not only a four-quarter fight, they are in for their toughest challenge yet. Should they win the day, then I think they are your national champions, repeating as such.
Wow.
But I picked Miami to win the national title for a reason at the beginning of this college football playoff. All of that, and I should say most of it, not all of it, most of it predicated on this defense at all three levels, presenting so many challenges moving forward. They are my chaos candidate, not only tomorrow night, but moving forward as well.
Love it. What number did you get on the Canes to win the whole thing?
32 and a half. With the boost on DraftKings, got up to 32 and a half. Yep.
What a great number. By the way, what a great time is going to be had by all on Fremont Street. If you haven't been there, Jensen and I have been there. Obviously, when we worked at Circa there, the mothership, is fantastic experience. So it's always on. We know that. But New Year's Eve tomorrow, they're turning it up all the way. You can ring in 2026, a countdown under the canopy happening tomorrow, December 31st, all night long. You're going to have six live concerts on three stages featuring Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy, plus a massive countdown, Light Spectacular, and the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. One ticket, one night, just $60. The party starts at 7 p.m., so get your tickets now at VegasExperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or any gate location tomorrow on December 31st. Jensen, if we weren't doing the show and we were back in Vegas, I would have been there. That's the type of thing I would like to go just to hear Chingy and see if he's still got it all these years later. Remember Robin Thicke? He did that video and it was like people were freaking out about it with all the girls in the video. I wonder if he's, you got to think if you're Robin Thicke, that's the reputation that precedes you, right? That's got to be probably something to look forward to on Fremont Street Experience.
If only they did a Netflix documentary on what happened after that music video.
I can't wait to speak to our next guest. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, joins the program still recovering from shots of Malort. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We will have Wes Reynolds join the program before we are done. It'll be Tuesdays with Wes as we get ready for the college football playoff, the quarterfinal round. Right now, we welcome into the program, as we do each and every Tuesday, the co-host of Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni. Check out the show 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. The one and only Jonathan Von Tobel does a great podcast, Pod to the Futures, with Mitch Moss. Give him a follow on X at MeJVT. Yesterday, with he and Stormy, JVT, as he's known to do, very passionate about the Bills' decision to go for two against Philly. Did he agree with the decision? Take a listen for yourself.
It's not, call me crazy, but I didn't mind that the Buffalo was. No, call me crazy. The Bills should have gone for two. You're all idiots. That's what you're supposed to do. I saw tweets of like, they had the momentum. Momentum doesn't exist. You know what does? Scores, points. You got to go and get those to win the freaking games. Who cares that the Bills were part of the teams that got the new playoff rules, or excuse me, the postseason overtime rules instituted? Who cares about that? You got nothing going on. You need to win the game. Your offense has done bunk all game long. You know what you need? You need 2 yards. And guess what? You could have gotten them, like you said, if the throw was on target.
That's why I say, like, the play was there. So yes. I like the call. I like going for the win in that moment. Right. So
it's not you don't mind. They should have. This is what you're supposed to do.
The Bills did the right thing.
There we go.
Just wish they felt strongly about it. Here he is joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, we talked about it, and Jensen and I were in agreement that that was going for two was the right call. My pushback would be in the playoffs, I don't know that Sean McDermott would have been as chesty. Do you agree that maybe in a different scenario, with not as much, so to speak, on the line, I don't know that he would have gone for it.
Isn't there more on the line in the postseason?
Absolutely. That's what I mean. This was less on the line. That's why you could be more chesty about it.
No, I mean, look, I,
at the end of the day, what do you need? I mean, I don't care what the scenario is. What do you need to do in those situations? You got to score to win the game. Go score and win the game. At some point, you have to find yourself back in that area of the field, or with 2 seconds left, you could just trust your dudes to go do what they're supposed to do and win the game. And by the way, again, as Stormy there, and my passion in that clip, by the way, I'm trying to poison Stormy a little bit. Like, she needs to be a little bit more aggressive. She needs to be a little less timid. You know, sometimes with the takes, she's like, I kind of think that this should be. No. We're here to make statements, man. We're here to get people angry. It's what I like to do. So, no, I mean, look, at the end of the day, when it comes to those situations, I am more of a proponent of if it's for the win. Now, a lot of times people will, I think, misconstrue what going for the win is. You don't go for two if there's like a minute and 45 seconds left, because of course, like, it's a 1-point lead with a minute and 45. It doesn't mean anything. But if you're in a situation, right, Dave, Super Bowl or otherwise, if you're there and you score, ooh, a touchdown and you're down and there's 2 seconds left, go win the game. Cause at some point you're going to need to go and do that. I am a proponent of going for it because, you know, it's funny. People use the things like, well, you got to trust your defense. How about I trust my offense? How about I trust my guys who got me in that situation to go and do it? And I think Jensen, you know, Jensen's nodding. You're an athlete. Jensen, wouldn't you think as an athlete in the biggest moment, is that not a vote of confidence from your head coach when I look at you and say, I need you to win this game and I trust that you're going to be able to go and do it. So go and do it, boys.
You nailed it. And the icing on the cake here for me, JVT, was I know there was some deliberation or consternation between Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady about why they were not calling timeout immediately. I'm like, I want this to be the last play. We're winning, yes, we're losing. I want no time left for any chaos to ensue. So absolutely, you go for the win. Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Well said. Right. Quick question for you, and we'll pivot back to where you are, 30,000 foot view. How do you handicap week 18 just overall in your years past? And I know there's still games that obviously have a lot to play for. Is it just a focal point of not only those games that matter, or how do you also look at the ones that quote unquote do not matter as far as standings and playoffs are concerned?
Yeah, I think each one depends. I tend to, if we're talking about just like generally, Jensen, I tend to try to find the spots where I think the market's overreacting because of a situation. You know, if a team that has something on the line is playing a team that doesn't, we generally see the market get really froggy with some of those numbers. You know, the one that comes to mind right now is, am I going to be able to get 14 with Tennessee against Jacksonville? Right now, spots like BetMGM are up to 13. Jacksonville can still win the one seed. Jacksonville still needs to win the AFC South. Tennessee is absolutely nothing on the line, but because they need to win this game, we saw that when this reopened, it started to climb. It's starting to climb again. You know, outside of maybe a serious injury report for the Tennessee Titans, why am I supposed to believe that Jacksonville, who I just watched scuffle all day with the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, is supposed to be in this situation where they're laying near 14 points against their opponent here only because they need to win the game? I think those are the spots that I tend to gravitate towards and see if I can find some situations in which I can look and see, okay, this team I think is being undervalued or the other team is being overvalued because of the situation they're in. And then there's also trying to get ahead of information. You know, the fascinating game is Miami and New England, right? Los Angeles is resting their guys. The Denver Broncos are in a position to win that game handily. New England essentially has nothing to play for outside of they could slip to as low as the 3 seed, depending on what happens. Does that matter to you if you're New England? Will you play Drake May? Will you try to get him out there to run up the score so he can win MVP? Those are the things that I think you're trying to find out, much like a preseason situation, so you can get ahead of them. So I think it does kind of vary the way you handle it. But for sure, for me, I'm going to try to play on some of these overreactions because, as we always like to say, just because you have to doesn't mean you're going to. And sometimes the market thinks that you're going to.
Houston still has something to play for. 10.5-point favorites against your Indianapolis Colts. We have breaking news. Jeremy Fowler reporting from ESPN that it looks like they're going to go to Riley Leonard, play quarterback for the Colts, and not Phillip Rivers. Collectively, I say, boo, Colts. JVT, I know you. You wanted to watch one more game of Phillip Rivers behind center, didn't you?
I mean, I wanted to watch Anthony Richardson, to be quite honest with you. But again, we're going to go into next year. You know, I mean, what are they going to do? Seriously, like you still, this has been my argument the whole time. You kick the can down the road. Well, you caught up with the can, yep, and you still don't know what you're going to do with it now at this point. So you're going to start Riley Leonard. Anthony Richardson isn't healthy, and now here we are. We're going to go into next year, and I would assume that Anthony Richardson is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts week one, just because, again, you got to figure out what's going on. Or maybe you trade him in the offseason, like really not giving him another shot at winning this. And who is it that you're going to sign? Who is it that's going to play for you? But I like the only thing that I would like to see here is Richardson. But I guess we're going to give Leonard a shot and see what happens. I think that makes some sense given the health of Richardson. But look, you don't want to put Phil Rivers out there. I actually thought he had a good line, Dave. I know that you like this hokey stuff. But when he said something about the backyard games not really mattering, but we cared about those. Like, yeah, he's a cool guy and these games matter to him. But he didn't really play well against Jacksonville. His arm strength was clearly not there for a third consecutive game. And I think that's part of the reason why they lost that contest, obviously. And now we're going to sit here and see what Riley Leonard has. But I just don't think you want to put him out there for no reason. And I think at some point you got to think about his health, too. I mean, I know he wants to play, but he's an older dude who clearly physically doesn't really have it. And now you don't want to put him out there for a meaningless contest.
Yeah, boy, what a fall from grace. The way that season started for the Colts, tale of two halves, no question about it. I know you and Stormy will likely address this today on Money Moves. I wanted to get your thoughts on short-term implications here for the Nuggets. Obviously, the Nikola Jokic injury. We'll get some news on the medical front here later this morning, if not this afternoon. Shout out to you and Zachary Cohen, too. I was listening to you guys in the gym. I did throw some change there on the 14-1 on the Keontae George most improved player. I think that's a fascinating little run here and what a great number. But short-term, long-term view for you, if it is a long-term injury for the Nuggets with Nikola Jokic, how does that change your handicap, not only of Denver, but maybe the West overall?
I mean, the West, I think you're okay because, again, you're early enough, right, Jensen? I mean, it's December 30th. If he's going to be injured even until let's say, because I thought I read a report this morning, but I don't think it was from an actual news account, so I take it with a grain of salt, that it wasn't a long-term thing. So we'll see if that's the case. But either way, he should be back with enough time that you're still going to be a top six seed in the Western Conference. I think the problem is, to what you're referring to, we know that Aaron Gordon's been hurt. We know that Christian Brown's been hurt. We know that Cam Johnson just went down, and now it's Nikola Jokic. So, like, this team is extremely thin when you're talking about injuries, and I would assume a slip down the standings is coming. But for MVP, I mean, I'm going to be interested to see. Look, Shea is going to be the obvious choice for this. Luka Doncic has fallen out of favor already in Los Angeles, considering even though he's a little bit skinnier, he's still doing the same things that he did back in Dallas in terms of complaining, not getting back, not performing as well defensively. And so I guess that opens the door for somebody like him. But look, if the Pistons win the one seed, if they can push New York, Cade Cunningham in a weak MVP race, he can't come up and push Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who might be sitting out some of these fourth quarters and not putting up the same numbers. I think that might be something you're looking at here in an MVP race with Jokic now questionable as we move forward.
Burying the lead here, you got a ticket on the Bears 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. You did two shots of Malort, which is a Chicago tradition. What was your take on the Malort shots?
So real quick, 33-1 on the Bears. I wish it was 60-1. Second, it wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as people were making it out to be. Like, there was a lot of, like, it's the worst thing ever. Our own Bill Lady texting.
It is
like
the worst thing ever.
Screen. It was bad, but it was, I've had worse, I'll say.
Your face might beg to differ. It is so fantastic good. Viewing. If you haven't seen the video that JBT posted, it is spectacular, my friend. Enjoy it. We'll talk soon again. We got Wes Reynolds later right here at Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books right here on Beeson.
We are back, Beeson by the Books. Dave Ross here and Jensen Lewis. We've got coverage coming all New Year's Day long, Jensen Lewis. Just because it's a holiday, we don't stop here at Beeson. Beeson is live all New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. You're going to have full regular programming both days, starting with us right here on Beeson by the Books at 7 a.m. You're going to roll through a numbers game, prop points, money moves, follow the money, Beeson primetime, and cashing out deep into the night to ring in 2026. So as you're counting down to the new year and kicking off the new year, Beeson's going to be right there with you. Real-time betting coverage across college football playoffs, NFL, NBA, and more live betting opportunities there as well throughout the day. So spend your new year with Beeson, the nonstop home for sports bettors. We appreciate you watching, listening, wherever you might be to ring in 2026. Going to have Wes Reynolds. He's going to ring in the new year at Pasadena. He's going to join us next to talk college football playoff, Alabama, Indiana, and beyond. Just had Jonathan Von Tobel on. We were talking about Malort at the end of it with JVT. I don't know why JVT got roped into this thing. It's a very Chicago thing. Everybody, if you're listening in Chicago or watching, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you anything you already don't know. Outside of Chicago, people might be like, Malort, what is that? And JVT had a bottle that was sent to him. And go back and watch the video, at me, JVT. Now, he contended right here in the program. If he had to take a stand with us, Jensen, I would put him back in the witness stand and say, Your Honor, I've got Exhibit A. This would be the video of Jonathan Von Tobel taking the two shots of Malort. And that would be counter to what he said when he said, quote, it wasn't as bad as people were making it out to for us to believe. It is that bad, Jensen. And I think the video that JVT posted would be Exhibit A.
Listen, JVT, at least he and I united in our backing of the Bears. I know his ticket for far more dollars at 33-1.
You're at 60-1.
60-1 to win the NFC. Hey, if we get that Come first on. Part across, then I am rooting my rear end off here for JVT. Hey, speaking of, I do want to put a little bow on our segment with him. Right now, Cade Cunningham is 70-1. To win MVP at DraftKings. He's 40-1 at Hard Rock. I mean, there are various prices around. So I took his advice. I threw a quarter unit on Cade Cunningham at 70-1 to win MVP. He and Mitch have been so stellar at the Pod of the Futures and have done a really, really great job of identifying some value. Mentioned I took Keontae George for he and Zachary Cohen, JBT. They both talked about it with Stormy on Money Moves. 14-1, most improved player. He's been phenomenal. So a couple of NBA futures that we put in pocket as well.
I don't want to be that guy, put you on the spot, but if the Bears were to win the NFC, would you agree to do a shot of Malort?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you do what you need to do. It's not like I would be crossing... I wouldn't be crossing enemy lines, like for my Cleveland fandom. You asked me to do...
No.
Or like put on like a Yinzer shirt. You know, good conscience, I would never be allowed home ever again. So I can't do that. For those watching and listening there in the Pittsburgh area, nothing but love for you. But when it comes to our sports, you know where the line of demarcation is.
You know who would not agree to do that for a 60-1 ticket? Joakim Noah. Noah would say, no, I'm not Chicago. That drink? No way. I'm not doing it. Who? No, maybe he would, being a Chicago guy. We did break the news here. Speaking of the Midwest, Indianapolis is not going to start. It looks like Phillip Rivers on Sunday. There goes the fun. I think it's one of the greatest stories. I don't know that we'll see another one to rival it for quite some time in the NFL. When you really now look back at what we witnessed for three games from Phillip Rivers, and I know they didn't win any of those games. And as JVT contends, maybe he didn't look the best, but by what standard? I would push back on that one. So it looks like Riley Leonard's going to get the start. There was a reason why they didn't go to Riley Leonard when the playoffs still were in the balance. So again, while the story was amazing with Phillip Rivers, Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard made a command decision that a guy that hadn't played in 5 years, who's 44, father of 10 and a grandfather, was a better option at the time than Riley Leonard. So I know we're going to see it now, but Jensen, didn't they already kind of tell you what they thought of Riley Leonard when they went to Phillip Rivers?
I would think. And here's the rub is when you kind of look at the upcoming draft and is there a quarterback there that Indianapolis would potentially have their eyes on? Here's your problem. You look through the first round, guess what you don't have? You don't have a first round pick. So nope. I think we're going to be in a situation where the Sauce Gardner trade here is one where they would have had it, but now the Jets will have that one. So instead of picking where they would have at 18th, that first round pick now goes to the New York Jets because of the exchange of Sauce Gardner. So yeah, it's either a free agent signee. Like, I mean, you're not going to go trade for Lamar Jackson. You're not going to go try and do that, are you? I mean, could you imagine Lamar Jackson suiting up as the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts? I don't think so. So yeah, they have some issues. And let's be fair, Dave. Daniel Jones, you hope that he comes back healthy, but you still, I mean, this is such a remarkable first half versus second half autopsy of their season. Everything going right. And then you get to week 9, week 10, and the bottom falls out. It's just unbelievable how their finish to the season has transpired.
7-1 start, 10-point underdogs, by the way, with the Texans and this news that it's going to be Riley Leonard this week. 7-1 start. You make a move if you're Ballard, and you guys, they make the Sauce Gardner trade. You give up the first round pick. And I think at the time people applauded it and said, hey, look, you can't bank on the injury that Sauce Gardner is going to have or the Daniel Jones injury. So that's the conundrum you're in. When is Daniel Jones going to be back? That's really where you're at. And you got to resign him. All those tentacles now. And that's why JVT's point, it could be Anthony Richardson, your week one starting quarterback this time next year for the Colts. What looks so promising now does not look so good for 2026 on the surface right now. Let's get to some of our best bets here, that some that you have in pocket for Visa Pro subscribers already. A couple of big plays you have on the ice tonight. We're going to have Jonathan Davis on the program tomorrow. Can't wait to get his prognosis as we turn the page to 2026. But what do you have to ring out 2025?
All right, so looking to back a team right now, the New Jersey Devils, it has been some tough sledding here for them. They've lost three in a row. They're going to be on the road north of the border against our Iceman, Jonathan Davis, and his Toronto Maple Leafs. I do like them, though, in this spot. Again, sometimes you play just a little bit of a numbers and a hunch here, but I do feel that they go on the road and they get the better of the Maple Leafs. So Toronto has been very fickle in their home arena there at Scotiabank. And so I like the Devils in a big way here. It's a two-unit play for me, minus $1.15, shop around $1.10 there at Circa. Let's go to the city of brotherly love, who will actually be in Vancouver. That's the late one tonight. This one feels like a coin flip, but let me err on the road team here, at least for them, where they are. I know 4-6 in their last 10. Canucks are 6-4. But this more a play on a little bit of momentum here. I do like the Flyers offense to be able to get done. This could be a little bit more of a higher scoring game. If that's the case, give me Philadelphia. Again, another two-unit play there on the ice tonight.
All right, so there's a couple two-unit plays that you have there. College basketball, you're going to go out west as well and look at Washington State. What do you like tonight here with Washington State potentially, what is it, against Seattle University?
Yes, this has been a profitable spot for us already this year. We've won a couple of these unders backing Seattle and whoever their opponent has been at home there. I do like it under 141.5. Also like the Cougars of Washington State getting the 4.5 as well. Nip and tuck could be down to the final possession, but do like these teams. A little bit slower pace here, and I do like that to stay under as well.
You're going to lay it with the Ville at Cal, late night on the West Coast. Not that late, obviously, with these weird ACC start times. And also looking at Santa Clara. I don't know if Steve Nash is eligible tonight for Santa Clara, but you're going to back Ville and Santa Clara out west.
Yep. Santa Clara cash cow for us a few nights ago, and they absolutely pasted Oregon State too. So I do like Santa Clara laying the double digits here. My biggest play, though, for college basketball tonight, another two-unit one. I am actually going to go against our great friend, Greg Peterson. I'm going to take Marquette. I think they've hit rock bottom here. This is, you're backed into a corner. They have looked awful the last 5 to 6 times out, but I do think it's a matchup that if they can get into transition and they can get some of the early buckets, it forces Seton Hall to get above the slow pace that they want to do, get a lot of their points in the paint. Give me the 2.5 with Marquette tonight, another two-unit play on the hardwood.
Yeah, I like to be in spots where I can back Shaka Smart. That's for sure. As a VCU alum, we still have, we're endeared forever for that Final Four run we had with Shaka back in the day. Very quickly, we've talked about some of these changing numbers. I'm still stunned when I look at Matty Stafford now as a $3 betting underdog to Drake May. Is there any value in that number? Look, I give the, at least the bookmakers, this isn't the voters, because we don't know exactly what they're going to vote. The straw poll last week had Matthew Stafford way ahead of Drake May. I wonder if the voters, even though it's changing the betting market, do you think that's changing their mind that much to push Drake May to being a $4 betting favorite?
So I think we're going to have a discussion about this tomorrow. There are some really eye-opening numbers in the comparison just between May and Stafford. You'll want to tune in for that, and I think we might have a value play to add to your portfolio as well.
Ooh, I like a good value. So does Wes Reynolds. He's going to join us next. He's making the pilgrimage. I don't know if it's by horse and buggy out to Pasadena. Can't wait to catch up with the great Wes Reynolds talking Indiana and Alabama next. VSiN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the books right here on VSiN. We'll be right back.
continue, VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jens Lewis, and rounding out our all-star cast on the program today, it's the one and only Wes Reynolds. Normally, it's Wednesdays with Wes right here on VSiN by the Books, but Wes is going to be a little bit busy tomorrow out there making the pilgrimage to Pasadena to get ready for the number one ranked Indiana Hoosiers taking on Alabama, 7-point favorites in the college football playoff. Kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give Wes a follow-up, Wes Reynolds and the number one. And Wes, let me just start. Going out there to Pasadena, to the Rose Bowl, to watch your alma mater play Alabama. Did you ever think we'd be having this conversation to ring in 2026?
I did not, actually. This was kind of the ultimate dream was for Indiana to get to the Rose Bowl, because if you're an alum of a Big Ten school, that was always the goal. The number one team in the Big Ten got to go to the Rose Bowl. And now what's even weirder about it, it's just kind of like a step along the way. You know, there's still a potential further journey if Indiana advances here. Like, this was the holy grail. This was the granddaddy of them all. And now it's the quarterfinal. So, yeah, very, very much looking forward to it. Indiana fans, we've waited, some of us, our entire lifetimes, raises hand, for this to happen. And it's going to happen on Thursday, albeit in a rainy Pasadena.
That is where I think the intrigue of this kind of betting angle really begins here, Wes, because knowing where Indiana is defensively and what they're capable of, if it ends up being those kind of rainy, I think they'll do everything they can on the field to still make it as pristine as possible. But if the elements do show up there from kickoff onward, how much of an advantage do you give Indiana's defense? Because we're still waiting for Alabama to show some semblance of a rushing attack here consistently. Is that advantage Indiana big time in your mind?
Yeah, I think it would at least be a little bit of an advantage, Jensen, because like you said, Alabama, they haven't run the ball all year. So are they going to start to figure it out now? Again, better rush defenses in the country? I don't necessarily think so. And Indiana, when you look at the rushing numbers, they're 11th in the country, 221 a game. However, against better competition, against Iowa, against Ohio State, against Oregon, it was like 3 yards a carry. So not a lot of big explosive plays offensively for Indiana in the running game. And then Overton comes back for Alabama, you know, to help their run stop effort. So I don't know how well either of these teams are going to run the ball. I would trust Indiana a little bit more because they've at least proven that they can do it. And Alabama, even in the Oklahoma game and in the first round of the playoff, I think they had 54 yards rushing, you know, before you take out the sacks when it ends up being 28. So, you know, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be about at the line of scrimmage. And last year when Indiana was in the playoff going up to Notre Dame, you could tell about 5 minutes in, they were not as good at the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. And I think it's a much different story this year. And that's why they're the lone undefeated team in all of college football.
Wes, I want to look at the total here. Based on the conditions now that we're talking about with the rain possibly coming in, we're talking about the running games and whether or not they're going to be effective in that. Can these guys, Mendoza's Heisman Trophy winner, we know about Ty Simpson and his pedigree, at least at the beginning of the year, we thought these guys could be swinging it on Sundays here coming up. If the rain is that bad and the conditions are that bad, does that get you to an under? Because we always talk about it, wind and rain kind of affect it more than, you know, if there's not wind, you feel like sometimes you get those snowvers in the NFL. Obviously, we're not going to get that here. Does the rain really impact that total in your eyes?
Not particularly, Dave. I think it's more of wind if we get a really windy afternoon out there in Southern California, which I don't anticipate. We are going to get some rain. I don't think that's going to matter with the total. The number, I think, is right, and I think it's really right on both side and total. I think 6.5 and 7 is a fair number. And, you know, so to say, oh, man, this number's too high or too low. No, I think it's just right. You just have to, you know, handicap the game by breaking down the analysis and what you've seen. And that's why I like Indiana here. It's like all of a sudden this team is 13-0, top 10 nationally in offense and defense, have beaten two of the top five teams in the tournament, that being Ohio State and Oregon. And it's like they're not getting the benefit of the doubt from a lot of the national media. It's like, can Indiana really be a touchdown favorite over Alabama? Well, yes, they can, and they are, because I think that they're the better team. So I'm on the Hoosiers -6.5. I understand if it crosses that 7 or goes to 7.5, you take Alabama. I think this is going to dance throughout all the way to kickoff on Thursday.
Indiana was one of the write-ups I had in our college football playoff betting guide. And I did an exacta, Wes. I did Indiana and Miami to meet in the national title game. I know wherever you may be ringing in 2026, you probably have a watchful eye on the Buckeyes and the Hurricanes in the Cotton Bowl. Size it up in your eyes tomorrow. Is this still a matter of the Miami defense's speed, the ability for that pass rush to get home against Julian Sain, or are we just really not giving Ohio State its due that this has been the number one team in the nation all year long? They have answered at least up until the Big Ten title game every test that they've had to take. Is this the bounce back spot for them to try and avenge what, or at least get back to what they have done for most of the regular season?
Well, what a story that would be if Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner, Miami born and bred, gets to take on the U in the national championship game. I sure would like to see that. I think that would be great. But for this Cotton Bowl game, I kind of like the U here. I have not bet it yet. It's been kind of stuck at 9.5. Total has been bet to the under, which I don't disagree with, because I do think that there's some questions for Ohio State. You know, who is the defending national champion is going to get the benefit of the doubt. And it's really on their offensive line. And you watched every game, gents, and they were dominant all year until they faced Indiana in the championship game, where the Hoosiers got 9 TFLs and 5 sacks of Sain and only limited Ohio State to 87 rushing yards and had like a 49% pressure rate against these guys. So this offensive line is going to have to be better, and they're going to have to respond against a Miami team that did get 7 sacks of Marcel Reed, who is a little bit more of a better runner than Julian Sain certainly is. So, you know, Miami with that pass rush, they can get pressure, and that's why I think you're maybe going to see the low scoring game here that is being projected with the money coming to the under. I think that you hang around here a little bit. I know Jeremiah Smith at the presser yesterday was like, we'll see Indiana again. And you got to get through these guys first, and Indiana's obviously got to handle their business. But Miami, you know, it's just don't make the mistakes. You know, how much are they going to trust Carson Beck? Because it didn't seem like they trusted him a lot in that game against Texas A&M. Like, that was all Mark Fletcher Jr. That was all Tony on that end around. They didn't want Carson Beck to make the catastrophic mistake, and you saw them really call the game a little bit close to the vest. So eventually I think Carson Beck is going to have to make a throw here, and the question is, can he do it? I like the Canes plus 9.5.
That's interesting, because the only team right now that's odds on to reach the national championship game is the Buckeyes at minus $1.20. Everybody else, including the number one team in the country, Indiana, are plus money, plus $1.20 for Indiana. The long shots there are Miami at 9-1 and Ole Miss at 9-1. They're 6.5-point dogs against Georgia. Out of those longer shots, Bama's plus 550 to win 2 more games. Texas Tech, we haven't talked about them yet, Wes. They're plus 340. Are any of those numbers more playable for you, Wes, to say, I don't know if they can win 3, but I think they can win 2 and at least get to the national championship?
Maybe Miami, Dave, because you did mention Ole Miss. And look, Ole Miss, big effort against Tulane, and you thought that they were going to do that, and they did that, and they were certainly motivated, you know, after getting spurned and basically abandoned by Lane Kiffin, essentially, and they dominated Tulane, and I think the momentum might carry over for the first half, but I'm a little concerned about these guys at the line of scrimmage against Georgia. I think Georgia, they finally kind of figured out who they were in the trenches. They were a little bit kind of like, yeah, they're okay, but they're not great. But they've been dominant the last 4 games of the season, including against Alabama in the SEC title game. So I worry about Ole Miss holding up for 4 quarters. And I know this is the rematch. The line hadn't moved, which concerns me a little bit. But I think Georgia rolls over Ole Miss in the second half here.
Going to be a fascinating one. All right, I'll get you out of here on this. We're seeing some videos of your fellow Indianans, if you will, that were at TSA bright and early this morning, flying out of Indianapolis International, to the point where, Wes, there were being offers of upwards of $1,500 to give up their seat. Woo. Not one person, from what we've seen report-wise, has given up their seat. That is dedication, my friend. I know you got an easier route over there to Pasadena. What will be the first thing you do here to bring in the new year?
Yeah, gather with all the Hoosier fans that did not stand up and give up their flights. They're not giving up that for $1,500. We've waited since 1967 to go to the Rose Bowl. No way, no how. And I expect that this is going to be a very dominant Indiana crowd, just seeing you know, all the travel and all the people that are going. So very excited to get out there to Pasadena, and even more excited to potentially move on to Atlanta. But first things first, in the Rose Bowl.
Wes, we expect to see you on a float, kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Shake it up, baby, now. Wes, have a great time. Enjoy the new year with Indiana and Alabama. Thanks for watching VEASAN by the Books. You want more VEASAN? Go to VEASAN. Watch at VEASAN.com. A numbers game is up next.